Welcome to another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, where we take a look at the Spanish wine revolution over the years. Today we are going to talk about one of the blossoming wine regions of the past 20 years or so, a region with a name as Spanish and Spanishy as you can get, Toro, or Toro, T-O-R-O. And that means bull in Spanish, as many of you probably know. So you can imagine how perfect it would sound if on top of that, the wine it sold was a robust and hearty red wine, worthy of that name. And that just so happens to be the case. So let me tell you a little bit more about this. It's also a bit of a coincidence that the name of the DO Toro is what it is, because it really has nothing to do with bulls, at least directly. Toro is the name of a town in the province of Zamora, in the region of Castilla y León. We are talking about a place which is about 3 hours to the west-northwest of Madrid. Now, there is a theory, widely believed, I might add, that it does come from the fact that a Celtic stone image of a bull was located nearby. In fact, there were numerous in that area. We are talking about pre-Roman images that were pretty common there. But chances are it really comes from the name Campo Gothorum or Gothorum, or Field of the Goths. Now, I kind of prefer the legend because it just sounds right, but as is so often the case, the truth is often a different story. Toro itself as a town is a great place, an amazing town with a very long and interesting history, and it's just a great place to visit. The most popular place is the outstanding Romanesque church known as the Colegiata de Santa Maria la Mayor. It used to be a cathedral until the capital was switched to Zamora. Toro, in fact, was so important for a while that it was even its own province, at least until 1838. A number of important events, like the Battle of Toro, that took place there in 1476. That was when Ferdinand of Aragon, Ferdinand II, defeated the Portuguese, thus ensuring that his wife, Isabel the Catholic, would be Queen of Castile. But sticking to the main subject of interest here, another ancient bit of fame was its wine, and it was like that for centuries. An entry in a geographic dictionary from 1763 talks about the region of Toro and mentions how important its wine production was and how good it was. This reputation goes back much further. In fact, King Alfonso IX of León referred to it as a favorite of his. So we are now talking about the early 13th century. So it is old indeed. And even Columbus allegedly chose Toro wine to be loaded on the Pinta, remember the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, during his inaugural voyage across the Atlantic. One winery has even dubbed its wine La Pinta, in commemoration of this historic trip. Why would he have chosen Toro wines? Because, according to the story, he knew it would resist the demands of the trip. And if that's true, my guess is that it had something to do with the high level of alcohol content in it, a factor which is true to this day. And if that story holds true, what we could be talking about is that the first wine to reach the Americas was wine from Toro. And that's a bit of history to brag about. This wine apparently was exported to the Americas routinely well into the 18th century for that very reason. So we know that Toro wine has been famous throughout the ages, and well into the 20th century, it even obtained the status of DO, Denominación de Origen, for the first time in 1933, making it one of the first regions to get that distinction. However, it lost that status after the Spanish Civil War, when the land suffered from the effects of the conflict. Does that mean that people drank less wine? Hardly. Remember that wine was a staple in the diet, especially in the countryside, and especially in places where it was produced. But the quality control wasn't there, and therefore the quality itself wasn't always there. That doesn't mean they didn't make good wine. You just couldn't count on the consistency. And that happened in many parts of Spain during this time. We're talking the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s and 80s. Speaking of the 80s, Toro applied for a second time to become a DO again, and the request was approved in 1987. And since then, it's been pretty much good news for everyone, though it took a few years to get things going. Toro Wines had a well-deserved reputation for being bold and heavy on the alcohol, not especially refined. There were a few local producers and also cooperatives, the co-ops. They are indispensable in most regions in Spain, for better or for worse. But what was lacking was more capital and a bit of updating in the winemaking process. Nonetheless, experts in the subject saw the immense potential there and soon went to work. As is the case with many or a number of Spanish regions, it took the arrival of a number of outsiders, people from other parts of Spain like Rioja and Ribera del Duero, and even wine gurus from abroad to make this happen. This has given Toro even greater status as a heavyweight in the sector. So this was a region that started out with half a dozen bodegas, but now counts on over 60. We're talking about 35 years later. That's a booming expansion if I've ever seen one. What are Toro wines all about? Well, as we mentioned at the beginning, and as you can imagine, they are red wine, almost exclusively red wines. The grape of choice is a local kid called Tinta de Toro, though Garnacha is sometimes blended in. This grape, the Tinta de Toro, is from the Tempranillo family. In fact, for years, people said it was just another name for the same variety. But then scientists got involved and conducted a full-scale examination of the piece of fruit to get to the bottom of the matter and determined, drumroll, that it was, in fact, Tempranillo. But wait, there's a twist. It was the same genetically, but somehow it wasn't quite the same. Its vegetative cycle is longer, the leaves are a little bit different, but it's not just that. It is also somehow adapted to the special climate and soil conditions, and the result is different, visibly different from the minute you are poured a glass. This wine tends to be darker, richer, and more richly full of tannins. If boldness and raw power is what you're looking for, these are the wines for you. Most sort of come in at 14 to 14.5% alcohol level, but they are known to surpass the fabled 15% cap. It sounds frightening, but when you think that traditionally these wines could reach 16 and 17%, these are relatively tame versions. But the big surprise is that they are drinkable. They are very drinkable, and that's sort of the magic of this region. Now, does Toro make anything other than jaw-punching red wine? Actually, it does. A bit of rosé, though not much, and some more than respectable whites made mainly with the Malvasia grape, though Verdejos, the jewel of Reda, which is right nearby, is starting to take on more protagonism. Visiting the region of Toro is worthwhile because not only are there great wineries there to poke your head inside of, the land itself has a lot to offer. Now, to some, it may seem like this is a little bit off the beaten track, but it's actually right next to Zamora, which is a really cool city, a very historic city, and not far at all from Salamanca. Toro itself is a great town. I told you about that great church, the Colegiata. The architecture is wonderful, and it has this amazing door known as the Portico de la Majestad, the Majesty Portico, which still preserves much of the original polychrome colors. Wonderful. I saw it just a few years ago and was blown away by it. Then you have the main street lined with places to go for tapas and, of course, the Toro wine. You also get a fantastic view of the Duero River, which sort of goes by below and moves away towards Portugal. And nearby you have the magnificent city of Zamora, which is full of surprises, and Salamanca. So there you have it, a little news about Toro wines. Do not pass up an opportunity to try them if you haven't already. And that will be all for this episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you wish to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.